In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we gather in the church today on this beautiful, somewhat cool Sunday, a reprieve from the heat. We gather in the Holy Church on the Lord's Day. Every Sunday, the resurrection, we forget about that. I've noticed there's always a post-Paschal lull, a lull after Easter. People get weak, they lost their zeal from Great and Holy Lent. Perhaps the lack of fasting has been weighing on them. Now we're in this fast for a week. We're in the Holy Apostles' Fast to renew our love for Christ. And we can forget that every Saturday night and every Sunday is the Feast of the Resurrection. No less great than the Feast of Pascha. Let us approach Saturday night Vespers and the Sunday morning Orthros and liturgy with this. And we have, you know, your excitement for Easter? It trumps everything. No matter how depressed you are, it's Pascha. Imagine if we treated every week that way. I can't be too depressed because this weekend's Pascha. Sunday was called the eighth day to the early Christians, the day that has no end. It wasn't for the Jews, you know, it wasn't like Saturday the Sabbath and then re-begin on Sunday. No, for the Christians, it became, you're not stepping into a new week, another day one. You were stepping into a day that has no end, a light that has no darkness. That's how they experience the Lord's Day. May we approach it in this way. And also in the life of the church year, we've discussed how we had the Feast of Pentecost 2 weeks ago, the coming of the Holy Spirit, which by the Holy Spirit, the world can be sanctified and saints can be made. And the Holy Fathers, Metropolitan Herotheos, says this, the church is a saint-making factory. And the church's purpose is to, what's its product? Relics. To create holy relics of the saints such that each person can do this. To sanctify all of creation. Right? The saints sanctify the trees, the mountains, they take oil and they bless and heal people. Right? The liturgy itself, bread and wine, physical things endued with the grace by that Holy Spirit become the body and blood of our Savior. Water is blessed and you enter into it sinful and come out washed. All the means we're taking this world and transforming it by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Last week we had all saints, right? Why is it celebrated then? Because by the Holy Spirit, that's the purpose of humanity. And let's be honest, we lose track of the purpose of humanity. It's not just to be good people or to create nice societies and all these things. No, it's to create holiness and to transform the world. You heard the gospel today. It's a very short gospel reading. One of the shortest. Jesus is walking. He sees two brothers. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they stopped what they were doing and they went after him. These simple men, simple, illiterate men, decided that life wasn't about getting fish anymore. It was about capturing the hearts of men and women for the kingdom of God. And how did they treat these 12 simple, sinful men who all left Jesus except for one? After the coming of the Holy Spirit, they weren't wimps anymore. They were lions. And these 12 men and the 100 and the 100, all the rest that were sent out, transformed the world. It's never going to be the same. But you see, they weren't trying to create nice little neat societies. They weren't saying, hey, be really good people. Hey, every religion leads to the same path. Hey, that's exactly not what they were saying. They were saying something radical that life has burst forth from the tomb. Death has no sting. We can't live the same way anymore. Life is totally radically changed. And let's live according to that. Let's even give our lives for that. And most of the early saints, let's say 11 out of the 12, except for St. John the theologian, gave their lives in violent deaths as martyrs. Joyful unto death. The early Christians willing to give their lives, anything, because if Christ is everything, to die is gain for him. And this modern world has made religion and things about, oh, it's what you think about things, your philosophy, but it makes you a good person, your swell neighbor and things like that. Wrong. The saints weren't just good people. They're the best of people. Don't get me wrong. They weren't striving for holiness. Holiness is something so different and so not of this world. And the saints show us that it's by being radically attached to Him. More than food, more than drink, more than clothes, more than comfort, which we're so in love with comfort, aren't we? He's my comfort. When I'm hungry, He's my comfort first. When I'm thirsty, He's my comfort first. When I'm tired, Christ is our comfort. That's what they've, and it's a worthy comfort. It's better than any food and drink. And it can change your life. That was the message of the disciples. And that's why people listen to it. That's why people drop their occupations, drop their sins, drop their craziness to do everything and follow Him. And no less radical call is it now. It's even more radical call, perhaps, in our kind of pluralistic, secular society. So we celebrated all the saints in the whole world last week. Now we celebrate all saints of a local area, of a local church. So for us, all saints of North America. On Mount Athos, celebrating all saints of Mount Athos. And in Russia, we're celebrating all saints who have shone forth in Russia and in Greece, etc. Let's be honest, the list is a little shorter in North America than it is in Mount Athos and than it is in Russia. But why is that? Because the faith is young here, but the Holy Spirit is still present here. You can be a saint anywhere. If you have the church, the hospital, which we do, and we're going to build another church in the country, glory to God, so that Orthodoxy will light a fire here in this valley. People are searching. Believe me, they are searching every day. I was down looking for new property for the new church, the second church, and people were just stopping me. Right? Down in Utah County, they want to know God. People are desperate to know Christ in this world of confusion. Two famous celebrities took their lives this week, right? My mom was a chef. So she liked to cook, and this guy, Anthony Bourdain, one of the guys, he killed himself. The guy has everything in the whole world, and he hung himself. Mental illness is a terrible thing, but it's deeper than that. It's people have everything, and they have nothing. You can have the whole world and gain nothing and lose your soul, or you can be a little hungry, a little tired, and struggling, and suffering, and raising a bunch of kiddos, or going to a junkie job, but you have Christ, and you're in the church, and you're living that life, and you can have paradise wherever you go. All we need is the church. We have it here. All we need is priests. We have it here. All we need is to fast. We can do that. All we need is a Bible. We can all get one of those. All we need is a prayer open, an icon. We can all, and a little place to pray. And the services to come to. We have liturgy every day here. Whether you're here or not, you're being prayed for. We have all the tools to become saints. That's what we're celebrating today, is that we have St. John Maximovich, who came from he was in Russia, then he was in Serbia, all over the whole world, ended up in America, and he died there in 1966 in Seattle. His body is in San Francisco to this day, and miracles pour forth every minute. As I said last night, the priest is a friend of mine there. He said, people come every day. He says, they come with cancer, terrible diseases. They're healed about 70% of the time. What? He says like it's no big deal. Like, yeah, 70% of the time they're healed, but they always get an answer to their prayers. I went there at the lowest point of my whole life, and I wept on my face, not knowing what I was going to do with my whole life, and my life changed from that moment on. I'll never forget it. After I got married, the first place my wife and I went was a beeline to St. John to weep at his relics. Right? If any of you is really, really, really sick, and that's the first place I call to have them pray, that's where I go. That's our holy mountain, our holy place, our St. John. Right? We have his icon here. We have his oil. We just got some more of the oil. You should all go out there. We have St. Alexis, who's a modern saint, who was a saint in the 1900s, who brought back many people who were lost in the Orthodox faith in Pennsylvania and brought over 100,000 people back to the Orthodox faith. We're blessed to have a piece of his relics here in our church. You have St. Tikhon, who is a Russian bishop who came to America and spread the gospel. Didn't matter any language, ethnicity. And he went back and became the patriarch of all of Russia. And by all accounts, the new martyr. A new martyr. We have Peter the Aleut, who is an Aleut Indian, who was tortured because he would not deny his faith in San Francisco and California in the early days of our country. St. Herman of Alaska, the first to come, who came from Holy Volam in Russia. Same place as St. Seraphim. He came across the crazy waters to come to form the religious community in Alaska, to bring Orthodoxy there. When everyone else died, he was helping everybody. This holy man lives forever in God. His holy body, his relics, right in our altar. When our church was consecrated, it was his relics that our metropolitan put in there. And we serve on his sacrifice every day. I can name a lot more. St. Juvenali, who preached to the Aleuts and all the people in Alaska, and went to pagans and loved them, and was killed with arrows, blessing them as he was blessing, shot with arrows by pagans. He gave his blood. So that if you go to Alaska now, it's an Orthodox Christian place because of this kind of sacrifice. There's a few more of great saints. I don't know what my point is. They're up there. There's more, and there needs to be more, and it needs to be us. I might sound very proud and say, "Well, I can't say I'm a saint." No, you don't go and say, "I'm going to be a really humble person." No, you say, "I'm not a humble person. I'm a sinner. I don't know. I'm so lost in the world. God help me." And you go into the medicine of the church and you start taking it and humbling yourself and loving people, And then God creates virtues out of us. God gives us the gift of humility. No saint thought he was a saint. They saw that they were wretched. St. John Maximovich, you know the story. When he was a simple priest monk, and he had a lisp. When you heard him talking Russian, you couldn't understand. He spoke in English too. He said, people mocked him. His hair was all over the place, disheveled. His hat was always cockeyed. He always gave away his shoes. He was a slob in some ways. They didn't like him at all. He wasn't of this world. And he got a call saying, you're supposed to come, you're going to be made a bishop. And he was in the bus with the lady. The lady recounts and says, she says, why are you so upset? She's like, this has been a huge mistake. Like what? There's some John supposed to be bishop, and they called the wrong guy. Now, you and I could say that, right? I could say he must have the wrong guy, but I wouldn't mean it in the same way. Let's be clear. We can use these little humble words, but he literally meant it because he couldn't imagine that God would choose him. He saw himself as a sinner. That was the first time that he was worthy of that office, right? The saints were aware of their wretchedness, but they knew that the hospital could heal them, that sanctity is possible and is attainable. This is a few of the saints. I want to end today by inspiring you even more. What did the saints do that we don't? What did these saints in the walls get that we're not getting? I want to tell you one more story, and I hopefully helps you understand what it is. Today we also celebrate, today is June 11th, is that correct? Today is also the feast of the new martyrs of China. I bet you many don't know about the story of these lives, these incredible saints. My goddaughter, Iya. Father Michael at the Russian church, his daughter is my goddaughter, Iya. I-A, it's a beautiful name. Where does it come from? It comes from a modern saint. You might not know, but there were Orthodox Christians in China. St. Nicholas, St. Nikolai of Japan, who was a Russian, who spread the gospel all over Japan, and China was a bishop there. Amazing. And during the 1800s. And you might have learned in high school, when you were in high school or middle school, about the Boxer Rebellion. Remember this? This was in 1900 when there was all these external Western forces in China kind of jockeying for all of its goods. And then there was a rebellion among the people to push out all foreigners and all Westerners. But I never learned in high school was about what they did to the Christians there. And what happened, it's called the Boxer Rebellion, it's a funny name, but anyway, what happened was the Dowager Princess there, she said, cast out all foreigners and kill all Christians, especially native Chinese Christians who have betrayed the pagan gods and betrayed our people. And they began, which began the summer, in the May, spring, and summer, May, June of the year 1900, they began to go and torture people. Many of the Westerners fled. Many of the Chinese people had nowhere to go. And they had nowhere to go. Many of them fled that could, but they were left. The Russians fled to the embassy. And then there was these faithful Christians. There were thousands of Orthodox Christians at this time. Many of them fled. But then there was some that couldn't go. And it was, the weapons they used were spears and like machetes, horrible. And they came, there was one holy priest who led the mission, Father Mitrofan. Father Mitrofan, who was an amazing priest, an older priest, and his children, his wife, Tatiana, and all of his children, and the people that didn't go, had nowhere to go, they fled to his home. And there were 70, over 70 in his home, because the church had been burned down, they fled. And they were there waiting, and they surrounded it, and they came to kill them. Father Mitrofan walked out, did his cross, and just sat in his chair. He just sat in his chair, and he did his cross, and he blessed the people, and he just blessed. And they came and they ran him through with the spear and killed him. He fell under his favorite tree. And he fell and he died under his favorite tree. And they were malicious. They were horrible what they did to the people. His wife escaped, only to be captured the next day, and gave her life and would not betray Christ. A small handful betrayed Christ. What they were doing was going on with pagan offerings and pagan incense and saying, here, offer to the gods and betray Jesus Christ, and you're fine. And a handful did, but 99% refused to betray their Lord, who was their life. He was more important than their job, more important than their comfort, that's for sure. At that moment, they had to put their money where their mouth was. Do we believe in God? Do we believe in this more than anything? Is there a kingdom awaiting me after this? Is this worth it? And they said, yes. If it's not worth it, then what is? And they gave their lives, women, children. It's amazing. And it's not morbid. I used to think that was morbid before I was a Christian. Now it makes me want to weep. It's so beautiful. That's heroism. That's true heroes. His son was killed. One of the teachers of the mission was killed. one of this woman named Ea. Ea was the teacher. She's called the twice martyred. You know why? Because they tortured her, almost killed her after death, and they buried her up to her neck. And then one of the soldiers felt bad for her, dug her up, brought her into the guardhouse, was trying to take care of her, and they came again. And they tortured her to death, and every time, only one word in her lips: Lord Jesus Christ, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive them. And a smile and praying both times. And her soul flies to the kingdom of heaven. There was a number of people in this mission. The most powerful is his son, Father Mitrofan's son, John, little Johnny, Ivan. He was 8. And he was known as having fiery faith, helped his dad in the altar, loved God, loved to go to service and pray. He was a rambunctious kid like anybody else. They didn't spare any kids in this. He came out after his father was killed. You know what they did? They used his machetes and they chopped deep into his shoulders like this. Deep, deep, like 6 inches. And then they cut off his toes and his nose and his ears. An 8-year-old kid. And you know what he did? Smiled. He smiled at them and prayed for them. And they're about to kill him, but his sister-in-law and his other brother took him and hid him in the latrine. And the next day they found him where? He crawled back out to pray for all the people that were doing this to him. And they said, "Do you feel pain?" He said, "I don't feel pain. To suffer for Christ is a great joy, and I'm going to go be with him." And when they took him away to finally kill him, he was singing all the hymns of the church. I mean, wow. If an 8-year-old kid can do that, and we're complaining about a cold, we're complaining about keeping some little fast. My gosh. You might say, "Oh, this is kind of extreme, Father. Just there's kids listening." Yeah, I hope there's kids listening. Because they can love Jesus Christ so much, and he can so fill a person that they can endure that kind of thing. That's why people go off and become monks and nuns, by the way. They're not weirdos. They're broken like us. But they say, I want that. I want to live totally for him. And if you're not married, you should consider it. It's an angelic life. It's like a constant, he's everything to you. It's a beautiful life. And for us in the world, no less important. He has to be everything to us and to our spouses and to our children. And it should affect the way we eat and sleep and talk and pray and eat and drink and everything we do. Brothers and sisters, saints are not special alien people different than you. They were sinners like you. Father Mitrofan, this holy priest, he had a nervous breakdown as a priest. He went gray early. He was suffering. His kids were rambunctious like other kids. But they didn't give up. The saints had lots of flaws. Lots of flaws and idiosyncrasies, and they had weird habits, and they had passions and addictions. What's the difference between them and us? They said, no more. They said, I'm going to live for Christ, whatever the consequence, and it's worth it. You know what's torture, though? It's to half it. It's to kind of half-heartedly do this, because it's some of the work and none of the payoff. That's miserable. We all need a carrot. What's the carrot? I'm chasing the greatest peace you've ever had of your life. No more fear of death. Love brothers around you, knowing that you're going to a kingdom, knowing that God is always with you every moment. That's worth everything. But you see, you don't get that blessing if you're just halving it all the time. If you begrudgingly keep the fast. If you read your prayers, don't really put your heart into it. If you go through confession in a perfunctory way. If you don't really care, if you're selfish, you're doing some work, I guess. You're sacrificing something, but none of the blessing. So don't bother, I would say. Right? Do it from your heart. No matter how hard it can be, do it from your heart. Say, I want to fast. I know I need to fast. I love burgers, but I am so addicted to food. I want to love God, but boy, I judge people and talk too much. Boy, I want to pray. I want to feel that feeling Father Justin talks about, but I'm too lazy. I won't even go spend 5 minutes in front of my icons. Start there with yourself and say, I need this fast. I need this. All the saints were the same. They were weak like you and I. But eventually their heart ached so bad to change. And you know what they wanted? They wanted that feeling. Not feeling chasers. They wanted that sense that God is present. I had many kids in confession the past week. And many of them told me, Father, I do my prayers. Is he there listening to me, really? I said, really, he's there. But if you give up now, you'll never know him. Don't give up. Adults are saying, don't give up. And if you find him, you have heaven. You have rest. You'll understand why this. You understand in a small way when you start praying and being serious about the spiritual life how little Johnny could endure such torture. Because you see God filling you up and you become a little less grumpy and a little less upset. So I would ask all of you to honor these holy saints. Saints in China? Saints in America? Saints everywhere. The Holy Spirit everywhere present and fills all things. And Christ came to sanctify us. To give us a joy. St. Paul says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. And yet, it seems like any little thing separates us from the love of Christ. That's why people are depressed and killing themselves and doing these terrible things. Let us, who are the inheritors of these saints, if we are their spiritual children, let us honor little St. John. I want to have another boy just to name after this kid. I really do. I'm going to get a beautiful icon made of these saints. They're so inspiring to me. They weren't in an Orthodox culture. They were surrounded by people that didn't like Christianity. Maybe that's the way our world is now in America too. And God made them saints. You might say, that doesn't sound very fun, Father. That's not my idea of Christianity. People often hear the lives of the saints and go, I don't want that. I go to church. I'm a good person. I mow my lawn with my neighbor. I go out to nice dinners. I love God. I have a good job. I retire. Get my retirement package. Get my house. And I die comfortably in my bed one day. That's what I want. And I hope church fits into that. How sad. How sad. May God give us all those things. But if it comes to the expense of our hearts, no way. I'd much rather take a martyric end. Because when Christ fills you, you're already tasting heaven. When the world fills you, you're distant. You're distant and you're far from heaven. A priest told me the other day about a story in Russia. A priest is going to get arrested. This is 1940s, 1950s, in the persecution of Christianity and communism. And the priest was going, and they said, we're coming to arrest you now. He said goodbye to his children. He said, I'm going to go to the church. At least they'll arrest me there at the church. It was a guaranteed thing. All of his friends were arrested, sent to the gulag dead. He knew where he was going. There was a lady in his parish who was very, very holy. And people made fun of her because she was kind of like a bag lady. And she said, what's wrong? And he said, Alexandra, please pray for me. I'm going to my death. And she said, no, Batushka. No, Father, you can't. No, okay. So he took a long, circuitous route for a couple hours, kind of getting himself ready for his death, and he went to the church. And on the way, they had latrines. You know what latrines are? It's full of human feces in this big kind of cesspool area. And he sees this woman, Alexandra, knee-deep in the poop, with her hands outstretched, weeping, beseeching God to spare the life of your servant, the priest David. Weeping. And the priest says, what are you doing out there? Why are you in the poop? Why are you out there? Get back here. And she says, no, Father, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And he's amazed, but not comforted, really. Now he feels terrible. Now this poor lady's in the poop because of me. And he goes to the church and he waits. And he waits. And he waits. And the messenger comes and says, they chose to spare you. Go home. And they never tortured that priest again. Never gave him a hard time ever. You know what happened? That woman's prayers saved him from death. Now, to our modern mind, you go, so you say we have to climb in poop to pray? I'm not saying that. But what do you see there? That's very. What part of that do we not like? That's uncomfortable. That's disgusting. Does God want us to lacerate ourselves? Blah, 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 blah. No. What you see is she endured some suffering for the sake of another person. She went to the most uncomfortable place you could imagine, and she cried out to God for someone more than herself, and God sent grace. Fasting is not fun. It's poopy sometimes. It's not what you want. And that's why it's good, because we're so comforted all the time. When you cut off your will and you sacrifice and carry a cross, then God hears your prayer. And why do people some fast more? Why do some saints not eat for days? Why do people stop? Because they want God's. They give up the world's consolations, and it forces God to send His comfort. Do you know when you fast and you sacrifice this world, God is, He is, what's the world, the fathers say? He is obligated to send you His grace. You obligate God when you say, I'm not going to take pleasure in this. I want your heavenly pleasure. I want true joy. It forces Him. But if we're always having worldly pleasure, there's no room for Him. So I'm not saying to go in a latrine. I don't want to find your foot in the toilet in your prayers. I'm not saying any of those things. What I'm saying is endure a little suffering. Endure when your spouse annoys you. Endure when your kids are difficult. Kids, endure when your parents bother you. Don't be so lazy about your prayers. Forgive me. We're all so lazy in our prayers. I'm not going to have a show of hands, but it's a paltry number of you who have done your morning and evening prayers without exception and skipping this week. And you know I'm right. Or who have dedicated your life to Him. Or have kept the fast seriously. Don't be depressed by that. You know, if you make a bunch of changes, nothing changes, that would be depressing. But if the equal sign is the same, that means the factor didn't change. All these saints of China said, something has to change in my life. I have to change and live radically for Christ. And you know what? The equal sign changed. The outcome changed. Their joy, everlasting joy, became possible. So take the rest of this fast. What's today? June 11th? Our Feast of Saints Peter and Paul is on. We're celebrating on the evening of June 28th. That's 17 days. A little more than 2 weeks to transform your life. If not now, when? Later? Some other time? We could die tomorrow. Don't put off what needs to be done today. And no one's saying do it forever. Pick one passion. For me, I'm not going to drink alcohol for this fast, at least. Right? Someone in the world said, I'm doing the 30-day no alcohol challenge. I said, that sounds trendy. Sounds like the 40-day Lent challenge, right? Right? So for me, it's like, you know what? What's the big deal? You know what? A couple beers makes it hard to pray. But why do I do it? Because I want to relax. You know what? I want Him to be my relaxing, so I'm not going to drink that beer for this fast. I'm going to pick up my prayer up and pray more. Maybe for you, it's Twinkies. Maybe it's cake. Maybe it's the precious. Maybe when you're depressed, you go, I'm going to eat the gummy bears and I'll feel better. Really? For a second until you're sick. How about you say, you know what? No gummy bears, no sweets, no sugar for this fast. And you go, when you go, oh, I want sugar. Oh, I want that pleasure. You go, I want His pleasure. And I'm going to force myself to take that prayer up, or open the gospel. And you know what? You find real consolation. So whatever it is for you, whether it's sleeping too much, watching stupid TV shows, wasting time on the internet, whether it's food or drink, whatever it is, Father, I have my sins. Father Paul has his sins. He came to a beautiful confession to me this morning. Beautiful. We're all trying to repent in this together. This is the time appointed by God right now in this summer to help us become like the saints. If not now, when? Brothers and sisters, sanctity is possible. Holiness is attainable. If you just make this church your life, make Christ your whole life, and then everything else will be added to you. Your job will be fine. God will take care of you. Your kids will be fine. God will take care of them. But your soul, which is the most important internal, it'll be fine. And it'll be full. And God can create saints in China. And He can create them in Salt Lake City, even here in Utah, by the grace of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Forgive me.